Christmas from Romans 5, 1 through 10. And as you're turning there, I want to tell you a little bit of a story. On June 23rd, 2018, there was a kids' soccer team that began exploring the Thame Luang Nang Non cave system in northern Thailand. I have no idea if I said that correct or not. But there were 12 kids and a 25-year-old coach, and while they were having fun exploring the caves, unbeknownst to them, it began to rain. And it continued raining hard. And eventually, the caves started to flood. And all 13 members of that team were trapped within this seemingly endless cave, or endless system of caves. And when it became clear that the rain would not cease until the monsoon season ended a few months later, there was not much hope for anybody on that team. This became an international story, and two British cave divers, John Volanthin and Rick Stanton, responded to the call for help. And they took their scuba cave gear and they dove from one section of the caves to another, to another, and to another. And you got to think, scuba diving in caves, it's not like scuba diving in the ocean. I've never done that, but you've got to crawl through certain spots because it is so tight, and you've got to take your oxygen tank off and push the tank through and hope that you're able to make it from one spot to another. It's very dangerous, and that is the predicament that these children found themselves in. And on July 2nd, 9 days later, 4 kilometers deep into the caves, John and Rick, they have a video of the first moments that light shined into the caves with those 13 boys covered in their dirty, grimy soccer jerseys. Starving and thirsty. And in a British accent, one of those two cave divers asked, "How many of you?" And you could hear in the distance, 13. And he said, "Brilliant!" with his enthusiasm. And a few moments later, you could hear him say, "Many more are coming." Now think about that for a second. Some of you probably remember watching this on the news. And maybe you've even seen this video. There was a documentary in 2022 that was done on this particular event. Isn't that a funny response? He said, "Brilliant," before the kids were actually saved. They're stuck in this cave 4 kilometers deep. And there are many more dangers ahead of them. In actuality, the rescue plan had 11 others. I believe that they were all soldiers. They had to be trained quickly in how to do cave diving. The boys would go and they would follow one particular leader at a time who had an oxygen tank and the mask and all that good stuff. They'd have to go one at a time. And oh, by the way, there was danger of drowning. There was danger of starving to death, of thirsting to death because there was no clean water down there. They were in danger of death from a lack of oxygen. And, of course, the big thing, the caves were continuing to flood more and more by the hour. He spoke as if they had already been delivered when they still needed to be saved. And yet, he spoke as if it had already happened. Why did he speak that way? I think it comes down to one word. Hope. Hope. In a moment, the whole team went from being dark, lost, and totally hopeless to being filled with the hope of knowing a rescue team was coming. And in fact, they were rescued. I think that we can look at the Christmas story in exactly the same way, can't we? The world is lost, dark, and gloomy because of sin and the effects of sin. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Are you a sinner? A little bit later, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. You are a sinner, and the cost of your sin is death, total, everlasting separation from God. The world was lost, dark, gloomy, and as a result of their sin, the world was enemies with God. But the angel said to the shepherds on that Christmas night, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And on that night, hope was born. The light of hope shines in the darkness, and though the darkness did not comprehend it, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So what does that hope look like? What did hope, when it was born, look like to you and to me and to the rest of the world? Five things that we want to look at from Romans 5. Five things, five elements of our hope in Jesus. Number one, peace with God. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Sin has separated us from a holy God. We cannot be in his presence because of sin. But the blood of Jesus, it was shed, and it made it possible for us who were once enemies with God to be part of the family of God. Jesus gives us peace with God. Number two comes in verse 2. It is the hope of the glory of God. Hope of the glory of God. Look at verse 2 with me. "Through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we celebrate in hope of the glory of God." If all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, then we have failed to give God the proper glory that is due his name. But Jesus makes it possible for sinners to give God the glory that is due his name. And that is our purpose for living. That is why every person has been created. Verses 3 through 5, it goes on. There's a line of thought. Tribulation brings perseverance. Perseverance, proven character. Proven character, hope. Hope does not disappoint because God, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Let me just focus on one line there at the very end. Hope. Hope in Jesus Christ and the glorious work that he has accomplished for you and for me and for all the world. Hope does not disappoint. Jesus gives hope of the glory of God. And one day those who trust in him will see God in his glory. Number three, we are no longer helpless. Verse 6. Says this, "For while we were yet still hopeless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly." The wages of sin is death. And Jesus paid that wage for your sin, for my sin, for the whole world. And verse 8, he says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Those kids on the soccer team in Thailand were helpless, sitting in darkness, and all the people of the world were sitting in darkness, the mire of our sin. We were helpless to do anything. But Jesus is our help, and we are no longer helpless. Number 4, verse 9, he has saved us from the wrath of God. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Now, I'm not sure what comes to your mind when you think of wrath and the wrath of God. Maybe you compare it to a dog and somebody took the dog's food. Maybe you think of a child who was playing with a toy on Christmas morning and that toy was taken away from him. Or maybe you think of a grumpy drill sergeant and somebody stepped on their foot accidentally at boot camp, and you saw wrath come out at that moment. That wasn't Timothy, that was somebody else who stepped on this, but Timothy described it as, "I saw what wrath looked like." You know what? All those things, they pale in comparison to the wrath of God that he is ready to pour out on sinners. I want you to know that hell is a real place, and it was created by God for judgment for all who refuse to come and seek him out for the forgiveness of their sins. If you don't cling to Jesus Christ, then your eternal destiny is in hell. Take warning, brothers and sisters. And that is why everyone here in this room needs Jesus Christ. You need to be saved from the wrath of God. And that is what Jesus does. Finally, number 5, be reconciled to God. Verse 10. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Reconciliation, it's one of those nickel words. It means two enemies becoming friends again. Two enemies becoming friends again. Sinner, Jesus Christ was born. He lived the perfect life you could not live. He died, bearing the full wrath of God. But on the third day, God raised him from the dead, conquering death. Right now, you can receive the free gift of grace if you will put your faith in Jesus, in his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sin. And this is the light of hope that Jesus came to give everybody here today. The reason we celebrate Christmas is because Jesus came to give us peace with God, hope of the glory of God, no longer being helpless, saving us from the wrath of God to reconcile us to God. This, brothers and sisters, is the hope of Christmas. Today, you can have all of this if you confess Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this truth, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I pray everyone here in this room would put their faith, their whole trust in you, and declare Jesus as their Lord and Savior, believing that he died for their sins and rose from the dead. Lord, would you please accomplish that? I pray that the Spirit would move across the landscape of people's hearts right now, that people would cry out to you. Lord, thank you for Jesus, who gave us the hope of Christmas. And all we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.